All right, I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Southwestern Plan Commission for today, Tuesday, January 28, 2025. Thank you to everyone in attendance. We have representation from City's Planning Department, Legal, City Clerk's Office, and our IT staff, and Matt, GIS as well. And thank you for the general public who are in attendance or might be viewing us virtually. We have all five currently appointed commissioners in attendance. We still have a vacancy in District 3, and so a little bit later on we'll ask if there's any update on that. So we're just going to go through the agenda. One thing that when I was reading the agenda and I just noticed it says that we do not take public comment for people virtually. And so they must be attendance. Just want to point that out. So if you are attending virtually and want to make comment, come on down here to 1600 West Redwood Road and we'll fit you in on the item. Other than that, we will go through our agenda and we'll just introduce that each of those areas is when we get to those. So item number B is the motion to approve the agenda from our previous meeting. So first, are there any corrections? Everyone get the minutes, I guess I should ask first. And then any corrections need to be made?
I move that we approve the agenda as published.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Hollis. Any questions to the motion? If none, I will second that. I'll take a roll call vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries five in favor. None opposed. Okay, the next item number C, is the approval of our minutes that were published for tonight's meeting. And I'm assuming everyone also had a chance to review those. Any changes that we need to make to the minutes? The only thing I want to put out is our item of other items under item J on the agenda that we maybe try to be done by 8 o'clock, be cognizant of staff time and all of our times tonight, this evening. And are you guys okay with that? I don't think we need to make a motion to that, but just on the agenda, okay? Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve the agenda. Oh, we did the agenda.
Oh, sorry, minutes.
The minutes.
From the last meeting.
Okay.
As published.
We have a motion to approve the minutes. Any discussion to the motion? I will second that. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries five in favor as well. All right, next we are going to move on to item D, our staff business, and I'm going to look to my left, the audience is right. Sorry to those of you on that side, but I'll get to you guys in a minute. Mr. Schindler.
Well, we'd like to introduce a new planner, our new long-range planner, Joe Moss, over there. I don't know if you've met him yet or not, but and also just turn over the time to him for staff business today as well, so because he has some.
Great, thanks, Greg. So just a couple of things I wanted to point out to you today. You might notice that some of the things in your packet look a little different than they have in the past. One of the things that I've been working on since I got here was, you know, trying to create some templates and some more uniformity to our staff reports and kind of updating that format. So have a look, let me know, you know, feel free to reach out to me with any additional feedback on things that you like, don't like, what's working better. Our hope is that these will be more consistent and easier for you to find things quickly in the packets and get the information that you need to know relatively easy in a consistent way. We've also changed our PowerPoint templates a little bit as well. So again, we're looking at kind of some updates to that to again, sort of standardize and make things a little more consistent to make sure that we're bringing you the same type of graphics and maps and things in the future. They are a bit of all, I will say all of these are a bit of a work in progress though, so they're still kind of firming up. So you may still see some additional changes, but if you do have any feedback that you'd like to provide staff, just feel free to send me an email or reach out to me, and I know, well, we have, if you don't have my contact information, I'll get it over to you. Thanks.
Thank you. Anything else from staff? Great. Well, welcome, Mr. Moss. Thank you already for your hard work on that. Yeah, I went through. I noticed there was a difference. Luckily, I have a little spy who kind of gave me a heads up on that. But no, thank you for your hard work on that. Next item is just comments from Planning Commission members. I will start on this side, and then I'll go to this side.
I would like to know how the state of the city went for those who were not eligible to attend.
So I attended. I was by myself, so I almost sent a text to have you guys join me, but I think it went really well. The mayor and her guests shared a lot from Larry H. Miller Company, former legislative rep Pulsifer, County Mayor Wilson was there, and Holmes was there as well. And so they shared some things that we have already seen here on the Planning Commission. So we've already, the expansion to the county pool was announced publicly, the opening date for the Salt Lake Bees, which will be the second Tuesday in April, which is a scheduled Planning Commission meeting. And since I'm a ticket holder, I will not be present here because I'm going to attend opening day. So just FYI on that. And then they made a couple other announcements of the new library out at downtown Baybreak as well, County Library. And we are going to be awarded a new county art center similar to the Rose Wagner downtown, which is being fully paid for by Delary H. Miller Charities, but it will be county ran. So a lot of fun announcements that are coming. So and the mayor, spoke about how well the city staff had done helping plan and getting some things under some tight windows, especially with the ballpark. Oh, and of course the new track station will open the week before the baseball. So the first week of April, last week of March will be the new track station. So it went really well on that. So there's my report for our State of the City, the mayor's address. So next year I will defer to other, or we will get a properly notice that we may have a potential quorum so we can all attend.
Yes, and I apologize. I didn't make it. I've been fighting a cold for the last...
All good.
Off and on for a month. And
I believe a few of you attended virtually and caught some of that. So it was, and it might be recorded and online as well. But it was really well. We had a representation from our fire and police department who did a really good honor guard, and we had the Madrigals for Bingham High School, did an amazing national anthem. So kudos to those young students for showing up. Go ahead.
When, before you move on to the items on the agenda, when you mentioned the art center, that reminded me of something. If I can just. They were the architects and a large, I guess, a contingent from the county and from Larry H. Miller. We're going to be coming to the ARC meeting tomorrow morning. I was wondering who was going to be attending that ARC meeting from the commission.
I did not see an email about that, but I apparently will be there.
Okay.
And I did just, they change the time, was you, by the way?
If it was, no. I asked them, and they said, no, we want to keep it at 8:30, so.
And you, we selected you as our rep, correct, for this year?
Yep.
So if we could just, the staff, make sure that Commissioner Bevins is added to the distribution.
Yeah, I think they were going to send something to, and I said, I don't know which one to send it to. I thought they might send to both you and to Steve, because he was there at the last meeting. So I said, send it to both, but I guess they didn't send it to either one.
I didn't see it either. Well, I'd be happy to be a backup if you need it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I can attend tomorrow.
So might be an exciting meeting tomorrow. So you get the sneak preview.
Sounds good.
And then just the one question I guess I would have for Planning Commission comment is just the vacancy. Do we have any movement or potential of filling that vacancy?
No, I haven't heard anything. It's still up to Councilman. So for him I don't know if he's got a lot on his palette for council or not. I know there's at least two people that have applied or asked him, you know, told him that they would like to be on the. So I don't, Councilman Shelton has, but it's up to him to when he makes that decision. So
okay. Just one.
We're still good with five.
And one thing just on that, maybe potentially holding off on any training until we do have an appointee, if the commission's fine with that, just so we don't get this new individual. Behind an hour when they first get appointed, if that's good with everybody. Of course, we'll reevaluate that if it drags on.
If it takes too long.
Well, keep in mind that before a new planning commissioner can vote, there's a certain amount of training they have to take anyway, so it'd be nice to get that combined.
Thank you. All right. Anything else from the members of the commission?
I've got a question with regards to the track station. I know that we need a station area plan, like kind of passed or whatever, okay for that. Are we going to see that? I'm just curious.
I think the station area plans, they don't come before the Planning Commission or City Council. It was something that WFRC, we had to submit to them.
So, okay. was just curious.
The Daybreak station area plan was fairly simple because it's basically Daybreak's plan. There's nothing changed on that. Station area plan for Front Runner. I'm not sure. I don't. Joe, did Steve share any of that with you, since you're the long range planner?
Yes. So I've been working on both of those. So we just had our Daybreak stationary plans approved by WFRC at their committee meeting last week, and then we are currently in the process of working on the Front Runner stationary plan with our consultant, which should be on track to be complete sometime this spring, and then we will. Get that again through that WFRC adoption process.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else from the members of the commission?
All right. Just a reminder, I won't be in attendance at the next meeting.
Great. I'll be anyone else not be attendance at the first meeting in February? I believe it's the 11th.
It is.
Okay. Well, we'll still have a quorum. So on that, and on that, and we'll get to the bylaws later today. It's just, well, part of that is on voting. And so if there is only four, it still needs to, need to have three for a motion to carry, which I don't think we're in our potential bylaws. So just keep that in the back of your head for a few minutes from now. All right. So we are going to jump in into our agenda. We have nothing under item F, our summary action, or G. So we're going to go into our administrative public hearing items. And these are items which are quasi-judicial items that we have kind of set guidelines which we have to follow according to city code to approve. So we are the final determining body of these actions under the administrative public hearings. We have one item this evening, item H1, which is a guest house ADU total floor area, which was exceeding the total floor area. The address of 1099 West Shields Lane. The applicant is John Theobald and Mr. McDonald. It will be presenting us this item. So Andrew, the time is yours.
Thank you, Commissioner. This application is for an existing detached garage to be converted into a guest house ADU. The reason it's here before you is current ordinance reads that you're allowed to do the lesser of 35% of your total living space or 1,500 square feet. In this particular case, it's the 35%, which would equate to about 676.7 square feet, and the applicant is requesting 912 square feet within the already existing foundations that you see. Nothing external will be added or changing. The property is surrounded by a mixture of R1.8 and R2.5 single family. This is the existing home. As you can see, existing access on the left side that would go back to that ADU access from Shields Lane. This is the existing detached garage as you would see it today. Elevations on the property from the street view on Chosen Way in that top left. And again, nothing exterior exchanging other than that garage door that you see on the east elevation becoming a man door for access. The site plan for the project, again, showing the existing access, a relatively recent concrete pad bridged by dirt, which will be required to be asphalt or concrete per code for drivable and parkable surfaces. Those setbacks well exceeding the minimum 10 required for a guest house ADU. And we are overall still in compliance with all accessory building requirements and those for an ADU. It's just the floor area size being requested. That's why it's before you. And the floor plans for both the main level of an open floor plan with the upper level, which is not a loft, but it's a whole walled off area. And with that, staff is recommending approval of the application.
Great. Thank you, Andrew. Any questions for staff at this point of the item?
Just confirming that there's not a window within 20 feet of a property line on the second floor.
There are windows, but they are well beyond that.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else for staff at this point? Okay, thank you. We will have maybe some questions for you later on. All right, at this point, we would like to invite the applicant, Mr. Theobald, if he's present. It looks like he's present. If you'd like to come up to the podium and add any other additional information that you might feel is relevant. The time is now yours, sir.
Okay, my wife, Celeste. I understood that the square footage was part of the conditional use of permit, and I'm not asking for a conditional use of permit. Am I mistaken?
Accessory dwelling.
What?
There is no CUP permit. Staff cannot approve the accessory dwelling unit permit without Planning Commission approval because it's larger than what the property is allowed.
Okay. I'm yours for whatever questions you have.
Are there any questions for the applicant? We've cleared up what the administrative, I guess, application is. It is because it exceeds
It exceeds by 12%, yes. Which is really small.
Yeah. And it's already, just to confirm, it's already an existing building.
Since 1985.
I knew the answer, but I just wanted it for the record. So.
Just a single bedroom?
Upstairs, yes.
Okay.
Anything else for the applicant? And you have no concerns with just paving over the... The asphalt that would need to be addressed.
No, not at all. Okay. It's all part of our plan.
Okay. We will save some time for you if there's any public comment, which I may not be, but we will invite time for you if there is.
What is the process from here? Because this started October 30th.
Yeah, so we will take public comment next, and then we will have a deliberation amongst the commission leading to a motion, and if we make a motion to approve this evening. That will happen this evening. There could be a chance if something comes up. It could be tabled. I don't foresee that, but just for the process, you know, if it was something that was given to us in testimony, that we need to get more research on, it could be delayed. I don't want to forecast that. But then as soon as we make our motion, then the city staff will then go through the next steps as soon as we take our action, probably the next business opportunity.
Tomorrow. Just for clarification, when might I get a permit to start?
That we would have to direct you just to the city staff. They would just advise you of the next steps in the process once, you know, we give our approval for the exceeding the maximum square footage. And so they will just go through the next steps of issuing the permit and then working with the engineering department and the building code officer here at the city. The city staff will work with you. I believe it will be Mr. McDonald, but maybe somebody else in the planning department that can defer you, or someone at the front desk here at the city would also help you through that process.
Okay. And do we stay to hear your decision tonight, or?
It's going to happen here in about the next 30, 40 seconds. So
okay.
I would recommend staying.
Oh, not here, there.
Yes. Please sit down, and we will invite you up if there's any public comment. We need to get your... Mr. Theobald, can you state your name come to the microphone and state your name for the record for our city recorder? Sorry, I should have asked you to formally do that.
Well, you know, we are French, so
it's off, you know, there's only been about 5 people in 20 years that can pronounce it. Thibault.
Oh, sorry about that.
No problem. John Thibault.
Okay, thank you. All right. At this point, we are going to open this portion of the meeting to the general public to give any testimony on this item that they feel might be relevant to the item. Again, as this is an administrative item, we need to hear items that might be a detriment to the proposal in front of us. And then if there are identified detriments of ways that we could potentially mitigate that, and if not, we will have a discussion leading to a motion. So at this point, is there any member here present in the chamber that would like to give testimony to this item? You will have 2 minutes to speak. We ask you, if you come to the microphone, give us your name and your address for the public record. The time is now yours. Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing and turn to the commission for any questions and deliberation. I'm going to start to the right this time.
I have several things I want to say, just for precedence. They are asking for an exception. That's why it's here. I'm usually the one, I think, with the loudest objections to exceptions. However, in this case, I don't feel like this was built with a future intent of trying to skirt code. I feel like both the home and this building are modest and well within the character of the neighborhood. It is an existing building that has been there for a long time, converting the use. And it is, by square footage, not that much over what is allowed with the 35%, although it is 47% of the total dwellings space. So for once, this is an exception that I'm in favor of considering.
Okay, thank you for sharing all this. Mr. Kamel?
Just similar comments. I just want to thank the applicant for coming today. Like, it's, you're getting exposed to this part of the process, and as someone who's been steeped in this for a few years now, it's an important part of the process, so I appreciate you being willing to do that. like my commissioner to the side of me, like she was, as we were talking about it, as we see it today, like I also feel like it fits the neighborhood. It's we've at least received at least one public comment supporting it, and I have no problems with or concerns or questions.
Okay. And as Commissioner Cattle just stated, we did receive a email in favor from High Wolf that has been entered into the public record in support. He is the neighboring property owner and was in full support. But just want to acknowledge, sorry, I should have acknowledged that before public comment. We did receive that email. Ms. Bevins, anything you'd like to add?
They pretty much said most of it. I just want to add, I think this is a great use of space. Our city definitely needs more affordable housing, and converting this and allowing our kids to have their own space and space to stay within the city, I think it's a great use of this property. So okay. I'm in favor.
Thank you. I fully agree with that. And at this point, I'm open to a motion.
The format changed. Does somebody else have it?
It's I've on the second it. Page though.
I'll make a motion.
It's going to take a little getting used to.
Commissioner Bevins.
Based on our discussion tonight with staff and the applicant in public, I move that the Planning Commission approve ADU permit file number PLADU 20240015 based on the findings and conclusions listed in our report.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Bevins. Any discussion to the motion? I will second that. Ms. Valdez, a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
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 Thank you. That motion passes 5 in yes. favor. So it is approved this evening. So please continue to work with city staff on your next steps for permitting and getting your daughter and moved into this place. So we appreciate you coming this evening and wish you best of luck with this. Okay, this moves now to our second item, which is a legislative public hearing item, which is item number I-1, which is the Plan Development Floating Zone Text Amendment. The applicant is South Jordan City, and Mr. Moss will be presenting us this item this evening. And just so the public knows, I made hearing publicly as a legislative public hearing item. We are quasi-legislative, so we are able to use more of our opinions on these items, and we will be making a recommendation to the City Council, who will be the final deciding body of this item. Mr. Moss, the time is yours.
Thank you, Commissioner Lewis. Excuse me. Just thinking about it. Okay, here we go. Well, thank you, commission members. So we're here looking at a text amendment change on our PD floating zone. This would allow to introduction of some denser commercial uses in limited circumstances. We're seeing market trends shift a bit with some of those commercial uses where there's often a need for some residential component as part of commercial projects. We'll discuss a little bit further about what that exactly looks like, but this would essentially just be a new option available to people requesting a plan development that would come through the commission and council process as part of the adoption format. So if you look here, this is our proposed wording. So currently we allow a plan development to exceed 8 dwelling units per acre in 2 circumstances. One is when the city is the applicant, and the other is when you are within a stationary area plan. The proposed wording is adding a third option, and that is allowing areas east of the Front Runner rail line to also be eligible for dwelling units greater than 8 units per acre. And that area here is largely commercial. Currently, it's zoned for freeway commercial uses, which do not include residential uses. So you would need to rezone if you were going to build any kind of residential use in these areas. It is also designated as either an economic center or a mixed-use center in the general plan, which do envision dense residential uses supporting those commercial uses in the area. So again, this would not rezone any property. It would just be another option available to the city to consider in any future planned zone development request in these specific areas. But staff is recommending a positive recommendation for the City Council, and I'm here for any questions.
Are there any questions for the city at this time?
You cited under the general plan conformance the LIV goal one, which is a reference to moderate income households, affordable housing, et cetera. Do you have any way of ensuring that that's what will happen? We saw an application in this area right against the river where it was going to be a high-end density product.
Sure. So part of the housing element is looking at those ways to include more affordable housing. You know, we don't know what that would look like because this is just a, again, adding another tool to our toolbox as potential as part of a PD process. So if somebody were proposing housing, you know, as part of that PD process, they could, you know, there could be some specification about what is affordable and what's not, and that would go before you and the council for consideration as to what is appropriate in that regard.
Is there anything that caps in these areas the density that can be requested?
There currently is not a density request. Again, that's generally, plan developments are sort of a one-off district that are kind of customized to that specific development need. And, you know, the city council would have full, you know, legislative authority to either approve or deny an application, including those density numbers.
So with this change, you're still requiring that they apply for a PD rezone. Mm-hmm. What advantage does including this in our code this way accomplish versus just having it be considered as part of the development plan that the city approves?
Sure. So the main advantage of this particular segment is it opens up another area that would be eligible for potential mixed residential commercial uses. Currently, the area largely north of the South Jordan Parkway is inside the Front Runner Station area plan and is eligible already. However, the sort of main amount of land that you could feasibly do something like that with and add more housing would be in that southern portion between 114th and South Jordan Parkway on the east of Front Runner, where there's already kind of commercial areas and some development there. So it would allow additional housing uses in that area, which fall outside the station area plan, if in a PD request.
So does this simplify that process in the future where they're just asking for a rezone but not a different land use?
So the rezone would, like I said, currently they're not zoned for any residential use, so the only way that a residential use could be introduced would be through the PD process. So that would be a new use that would come through the PD process. This just allows us to consider as a city if a residential product of whatever density is appropriate in that area.
But you would still have to come get a PD.
That's right, yes. There's not an inherent right to residential development. You would still need to rezone into a PD in order to accommodate residential development.
So does it eliminate a step? I'm not actually seeing the step being eliminated because I think you can request almost anything anywhere if you come and...
Currently, we limit where you can request a residential density of over 8 units per acre. So right now, you can only have 8 units per acre in circumstances where either the city is the applicant or if you are within a station area plan. This would just add a third area that is eligible, and that's east of the Front Runner line.
We've never been asked to, I'm sorry, you're not the right person to ask that. I feel like we have been asked to consider density above 8.
Outside this area, but not east of the Front Runner Station up to the freeway.
But no. I'm saying in the zones that aren't already qualified.
So we've considered that one, but it was in the station area plan. So I'm talking about the
yogurt near the yogurt place in the parking lot on 104th and...
No, I don't know that one was, but the rise development down in the river bottoms, that was in the station area plan.
What about the one on Redwood Road? Or did they finally bring it down to 8? I feel like we've seen several outside of these two areas. And so then bringing back my question, isn't any area technically eligible if they're willing to get a plan in place with city council?
Negotiating in a development agreement.
We've added pickleball courts, we've... So, seeing all sorts of amenities come hand in hand with greater density.
That one on Redwood, I think, came in at like 8.5 or 8.7 or something. It was over 8. I do know that.
Yeah, and I think that the introduction of the limitation on the plan development request was fairly recent, Greg, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it was introduced within the last few years.
Definitely in the last few years, but I think it's even sooner, more lately than that, because we've, the city council has been, you know, they've kind of haven't approved anything over eight, and that's been sort of the thing that, you know, they still will have to come back to city council and have discussions with them before they can get any of this, higher density. But I think, I'm not familiar, I don't think the code set currently limits 8 units per acre in the PD floating zone, but it seems to be, it's more like there's certain areas of, it's just nothing in code, but it's certain areas of the city where we don't want higher density, but other areas we think it's going to be beneficial to have higher density for various reasons.
Okay.
Anything else, Commissioner Hall? Mr. Cotmore?
And also, just to remember that Daybreak really doesn't have higher density as a whole. There are spots, just like everywhere else in the city, that have higher density, but overall, when Daybreak's built out, it will still be 5 units per acre. So.
Did you get a chance to go?
Yeah, I don't.
Or are we starting? I don't know.
I may have questions later.
Okay. So one thing, maybe a comment. I would love to see it with a boundary, like to include the freeway, between the freeway and, you know, that bounding box some way, be a little more explicit instead of just saying east of there, because not like we're probably going to take over parts of Sandy or annex Sandy, but but just to be... I think being a little more clear there would be great.
To the eastern city border.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then if we don't have the density there, I had listened to the council session you had on this as this was discussed. And one of the things that, just another maybe comment or something to think about is one comment came out saying, like, how would this affect the east-west travel problem? You know, we feel like there's a lot of density there by the freeway, but I look... too, at some of the stuff that's performed or the jobs and everything, there's becoming a center over in Daybreak and that commercial scene. If you think about downtown Daybreak, would we make the problem of east-west worse by putting a large amount of density here? And so what I would love to see is some way to mitigate that, whether it's as part of this decision to do a traffic study or as we think about traffic studies being required to build in that area to make sure, you know, because there's no height or density, or maybe there's height, but the density requirements, and they talked about building tall in that area potentially. So those are my thoughts on that. Other than that, it does seem like there's both a demand, and it seems like a good fit in a place to put that, that has natural boundaries. So that's my initial thought, questions and perspective.
Is there, I see on our map a little bit, there looks like there may be some land that's not fully developed. Is there any undeveloped land that they're really kind of, that we're looking at with this in mind, or is it just laying it over the entire area, and if anyone decides to redevelop, that's where?
Yeah, it would be at a applicant's discretion as to what they wanted to propose, and they would have to bring that forward to the city to rezone into a planned development. There are currently a few vacant parcels, and there is some commercial development that's, you know, 20 or so years old that may redevelop in some manner in the future. Again, this is just giving us the ability to consider a sort of mixed-use project in this area.
Do you happen to know what is in this area? I know we've got some car dealerships and some storage facilities, and we saw that.
Walmart. Yeah, there's Walmart.
We saw that RV facility that's going in behind there. It.
Yeah, the frontage road, you know, like the restaurant and the ATV store and the R&R barbecue down there. And then you have the office building, and then north 104th, you have the office buildings and Ultra Dent.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was missing, is that piece of it. Okay. I'm good.
Mr. Bishop, did you think of any? Or?
Yeah, well, this is more just a question for my own understanding. If an applicant wanted to introduce housing in this area, would they have to go through the PD process, or would there be other avenues of doing that?
So currently we do have a zoning in place that is commercial freeway, so there are no residential uses in the current zoning. So if they wanted to introduce those, they would need to come forward with a proposal. In this circumstance, we don't necessarily have a mixed use zone that might be easily applicable. And a lot of times for planned developments in smaller circumstances, it's a sort of unique custom district that again allows us to sort of customize those regulations to that particular site and that particular development need. And so that's generally how most developers would approach the request, is with the planned development, unless we have a default zoning district that might be a better fit for their need. However, I don't know if we would, per the general plan, necessarily look at an exclusively residential district that's in our current boundary or our current menu of zoning districts that would necessarily be a good fit.
Okay, thank you. And my understanding was that a lot of these projects, at least from that discussion, are combinations, like commercial with a residential component. Mm-hmm. And when that comes into play, I think the only other option in our code for the most part would be like a mixed use sort of thing. And that comes with a different, it just feels different. And I think that's what's going on, right? Like MU doesn't fit here. Residential alone probably wouldn't fit there. Commercial doesn't fit. And so we're proposing, the way I'm understanding this is, so we want to be able to put planned developments to fit a unique circumstances in this particular area.
Exactly, yeah. It would just enable the city to consider requests for residential components to projects in this particular area, which is quite limited in the scope of the city, but an important sort of employment center that, does rely on those sorts of supporting uses, particularly as we see the commercial market evolve, where it takes more people to support less square footage. A lot of times developers are relying on that residential product to make things balance out and feasible financially. And so given that we're anticipating dense residential uses per our general plan in this area anyway, we thought this was a easy way to approach that solution.
Okay, so nothing in this area that we're looking at currently, the underlying zoning, you could not put this PD overlay on top of the underlying zoning that it has now. Is that correct? They would have to rezone to a different...
You can introduce uses to, generally you'd pick a base district and modify it with your PD. In this circumstance, it's commercial freeway is the underlying zoning currently. And so you could say, okay, well, we're following commercial freeway standards, but we're going to add, this particular use, and it's limited in X, Y, and Z way. Again, it's kind of a...
So the PD overlay on the commercial freeway zone allows them to put the residential in without rezoning their piece to another base zone. So they don't have to go to a mixed use zoning and put the PD over top of it. They can put it on top of the commercial.
Yeah, I mean, they could consider that if that was something that worked better for whatever development they needed. But I don't think
it
wouldn't be a blanket requirement.
Okay. No. Okay, that's what I was misunderstanding.
I'm sorry, I should have clarified that it's the density piece of that we're talking about today, not the fact that
not
that you couldn't put a PD there, a planned development there, just that you couldn't put one that probably would have the synergy with the commercial at that density that people are asking about, applicants are asking about.
Just my only concern, if city council were to adopt it based on whatever recommendation we make, is just
you know, potential for student age schools. I mean, the nearest elementary school is South Jordan Elementary on 13th West. Obviously, the middle school and high school are further away, and obviously, safe walking routes would be 104th and or South Jordan Parkway 114th.
Is there not a school over in Sandy they would attend?
That would be a different district. That'd be a different district. Because that's Canyons versus Jordan.
Is Canyons right there? Is that the boundary?
Doesn't the school districts align with the city boundaries? Oh, okay. And so just, I mean, if there were residential, and that's what would obviously be when we get to those stages of considering those applications at that point, they were to come in. But I would just like to make sure that the districts were properly notified to be part of that conversation, just to make sure that, number one, that they could adequately house the students, or, you know, accept the students in their schools, but also that the whole planning of transportation or access to the schools are there for the students, especially with the two busy roads I just cited there as well. That would just be the only concern. And, of course, obviously, if we were to approve some sort of residential there, the barriers, i.e. fencing, you have to go in with a PD zone with a major freeway on one side and a high-speed rail line / Amtrak rail line on the other side. So just to make sure there's some protections in place for public safety, it just be my concern by allowing that type of use on that. So that's just my concern. Any other, before I open up for the public hearing, any other questions for staff at this phase of the discussion? Okay, we will open up for the public hearing, and then I'm sure we'll have maybe some more questions foster after that as we have time to digest. But at this point, we want to turn to the general public. Anyone here who has joined us this evening to speak on this item? We will afford you the same opportunity as our previous item, that you have up to 2 minutes to speak. Please come to the podium, give us your name and address, and we will hear your item. Okay, hearing none, I will close the public hearing and turn it to the commission for any other further questions and discussion we have leading to a motion of a recommendation to the council. And I'll start on the side to the left, Commissioner Bevins.
I don't have any questions, but I appreciate the clarification in the code. I know we do see this on occasion, and it's been a little bit muddled and confusing at times where we're allowing this. So I think this is a good clarification to the code. I think it's a great location to put this kind of overlay zone on, and we definitely need that area to have more of the high density. So
Mr. Cattle.
Yeah, I feel like it brings clarity to potential future applicants about where they can put the density that they may want, and it opens up a place that makes sense. My only thing is I would love to see it at least some in the text, some sort of boundary, even if it just says east of Front Runner and within the city boundaries. I know that might be inferred, but it's probably just, I think it'd be best to put a boundary around it of some sort.
Commissioner Hollis?
My only concern again is a cap. Even Daybreak has a cap on certain areas within their development, because I'm here to promise you we'll see somebody push what we're willing to consider. And then I'll be curious to see if this truly restricts the request for density over 8 to the said areas, or if we'll continue to see exceptions.
Yeah, I've echoed the comments from my fellow commissioners here on that, and I would agree with maybe adding a recommendation. City Council consider the fine boundary. Again, it's probably inferred, but just be as clear as possible, and also probably to address some sort of cap, because people will take advantage. Just when we're talking of developers, we understand what they're in business for, and they will try to maximize their profit margin, which is their right, but we need to make sure we protect the city at all costs as well, especially in this unique area as well.
I like that cap as well, even if, because you think about it, while it may not be the will and the mind of this current city council commissions all change over time, and so it would be helpful to put some sort of cap.
All right. Anyone want to take a stab at a motion?
Can I interject something? Yes, here? Sorry. This is, I probably should have stood up in a citizen capacity for 2 minutes, but I'll... Years ago, I was on the board of directors of Utah Transit Authority, and in that capacity, we toured some other cities, and we specifically were focused on density near where they had train lines, you know, we saw some really tremendous developments, nice, well built out, beautiful, that had density of 40 units or more per acre. And I'm not here advocating that or anything. The station area planned concept has come down from the Wasatch Front Regional Council and from the legislature. And with the idea that that recognition that these areas merit special consideration. And I think that what's before you and before the city council with these is, are there wider areas than just these circular, whatever, station area plans that merit special consideration because of their proximity to certain areas, in particular to Front Runner. And that's all.
Thank you, Mr. Simons. All right. Anyone want to take a stab at a motion? Go one way or the other?
I actually have a question for staff. I think it's the Jordan Station apartments. Do you know what the density on those came out to be?
I don't know the density because it's on that property. It's, they have, I think, 320 units. I'm not sure how big the property is. I wish I could check it, but the maps aren't showing up.
I'd say you're close. 320 sounds right.
It's the 320 units, but I don't know what the acreage is to get it per acre. It's probably someplace or near 20 to 30 units per acre there.
I would probably vote no on a motion that capped it. I would vote no on a motion that caps it.
Caps what, the height?
The density. The density.
I'm torn. I think with the right development, you do it. But that's the example that stands out in my mind, because I remember talking to Mr. Schaefermeyer when I very first started on this commission about that property, and there were several things that they never lived up to. They said that, oh, but it turned out to be too expensive to do like a green roof, and they never did anything about the retaining wall, still to this day. And so that just frustrates me, I guess.
Since I get to look at that retaining wall every day out of my kitchen window.
Right. And so, but maybe that's not our purview. I think we all agree that this is the right area for higher density if it's going to be in our city. And I guess that's why we have elected officials. And so I believe that's one of the reasons that the council member in my district, the former council member, ran again and did two more terms, is because he didn't like some of the things that were approved. So perhaps that's the check that's in place.
Yeah, I'm fairly confident. I know council has shared they listen to every second of our discussion. I think they're fully aware of our concerns probably regarding density, and I believe a lot of them, I don't want to speak for them, probably share the same philosophy today. But like Mr. Catmull said, the commissions change and councils change, and but we'll maybe defer to them if they want to tighten that up.
And I think our council's shown that they're very conscious about density in the city, so I don't have any concern that we're gonna overdo this area. I don't think we're gonna see a ton of turnover in the next 10 years. These are all pretty well established businesses. So,
Mr. Bishop,
I think I sat in on the meetings where this 8 limit was added to this overlay zone, and I think my understanding was that it was put there for the sake of the staff. I think at the end of the day, it's the council that still has the, you know, the say to allow it or not. And I think the 8 was there because people would see the overlay zone and think, I can talk the council into something really high. And it was causing work for the staff. And the staff would say, no, this is never going to, you know, council is never going to go for this. And so the 8 was put in there to just say, okay, don't even try. Don't waste our time.
Anybody want to make a motion? Don't be shy.
Make a motion.
Please, Mr. Catmull.
So, Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we
recommend that the City Council approve the text amendment that has been presented to us today to the plan development section of our code, and add feedback that the council consider a more detailed boundary description for the area to be more specific.
Okay. We have a motion. Any discussion of the motion? I just have one, just a friendly maybe amendment that we just actually cite the ordinance 2024-06.
Great. Did you do that? I left my printout at home.
No, all good. Fine with that. Yep. We have a motion. Fine, we have an amendment. I will second both. And Ms. Valdez, we
I don't think you can second your own amendment. I'll second your amendment.
Okay, so we have an original motion by Commissioner Catmull, a second to that motion.
An amendment.
Amendment to that motion to make Commissioner Gedge.
And I will second the
amendment by Commissioner Hollis, and then a second to the overall motion by Commissioner Gedge. Now we'll have a roll call. Robert's Rules of Order simplified, modified. Motion, amendment, second to the emotion, to the amendment, and then second to the overall motion. Yeah. Clear as mud.
Okay. I'm just here.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
Okay, that motion is part of a positive recommendation with the one modification is forward to the City Council, and we wish them luck in their further discussion and encourage any members of the public who would like to give input on this to attend the City Council meeting when they will be held, which I assume will be sooner than later. Should have asked that initially, but okay. All right, that closes our legislative public hearing items this evening. Takes us to our last item J, one, and under other business of the Planning Commission continued discussion regarding our commission rules. And I'm gonna let Commissioner Catmull plug in to finish. He'll be the scribe again. He volunteered. And thank you for sending us what we discussed 2 weeks ago. And city staff, if you would like to leave Mr. Moss, I don't know if you need to be here, but you're more than welcome to stay. We have an artificial deadline of 8 o'clock, so not too long tonight. But thank you. Hopefully we're not too scary in your first South Jordan Planning Commission meeting this evening. The rest of you guys, I might stick around.
Gotta keep us in line.
So where did we leave off? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, and for our IT staff, Commissioner Catmull plugged in, and so if we can just get the screens flipped to his monitor. There we go. Awesome. Yeah, I think we finished at temporary chair, and we were next on quorum. Before we jump into the new section, any concerns or things they would like to change from the previous sections we reviewed at our last meeting? They included the chair, those things on that. Just want to make sure everybody had a chance to think about it maybe in the last couple of weeks and things they want to change. Hearing none, let's jump in. Okay, well, quorum. And I know from my initial draft highlighted that I had it here of what from the city that we borrowed this from. Just something maybe to discuss. I don't know if Mr. Catmull will change the first to three or more because that's our current operating procedure. I know down below we need to change it to three or more commissioners from the last line. Once four or more commissioners are in attendance, change that to once three or more to be in line with the first part of the.
Right. I'm just saying, would it make more sense just to cite the section of code that where we have quorum?
If there's already a quorum code, part of the code, yeah.
Where we talk about the three or four, if there's so many attendants, I believe it's all already in our city code.
Okay, if there's already a city code citation, then let's just reference that.
If someone wants to, I don't know if someone can look that up. That might be helpful. I'm going to put just a... I think the title is Planning Commission, and it's got the... appointee, we went over it 2 years ago.
Yeah, and the only other part of this, so I'm going through the rest of the rules, was I brought at the beginning of the meeting, is just the voting. So if we only do have three quorum members present to constitute a quorum,
a motion has to have all three vote the same for it to pass. You have a motion has to have three to pass, regardless of the number in attendance. And that's not referenced anywhere else, I don't believe. So, you know, it's just not a simple majority. It can't be a 2-1 vote to pass if there's a 3-person right. quorum.
I thought that's there, but I know Commissioner Hollis is looking that up.
Okay. But are do we, you know, if it's not in the code, just decide it here for future commissions as, you know, what we've done in the past.
Yeah, so let's, the one thing that I don't think's here is some of this stuff. Anyways, we're looking that up.
Yeah, and on that, on the physically present, I know during the pandemic, we did meet virtually all of us and didn't have someone at the anchor site. And then we allowed for virtual participation. I believe City Council still does allow that, and we want to follow City Council as much as possible. So do we want to just have that as an allowance in case we that's the only way we can get to a quorum is to allow telephonic or other virtual electronic attendance? Of course, and definitely have to have one person present. Especially where we don't allow public testimony to be given now, virtually. So
right, right. Someone has to be here at the store. Anyway,
thoughts?
I defer to first.
I think we can take out where it talks about the secretary gives 24-hour notice of name and connection method of all commissioners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we're doing okay, not with, without the Zoom option. And
yeah, I'm just thinking worst case scenario, like during spring break or fall holiday, and people are traveling, and we need to have a quorum because there's an urgent item, and maybe only one or two people can be in attendance physically, and still have, you know, I know I've called in from a conference once because, you know, to get to a 3-person quorum. Just to have an allowance.
My concern, like, just as the way it's listed, though, is I think it probably should require a computer.
Yeah, I don't think a phone call in
yeah.
is.
Because there are usually, there can be visual, there are visuals presented. And, you know, even just listening to some of the city work session recordings, and you're like, you know, what are they seeing on their screen? And where are they pointing? And so if you would be okay, I'd like to remove.
I would just specify on the Zoom call that's provided by the city.
Right. I wouldn't even say Zoom, but on whatever the format, it is, the platform.
The electronic meeting format.
The city provided. The
remote connection method provided by the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can connect to Zoom via phone with the.
Yep.
Yeah. Right, if you allow it.
I mean, with the smartphone, right? You can have the video and everything.
Right. True. I feel old when I erase that. Anyway, yes.
And then, and then probably commissioners must give notice to the commission secretary, and then the next line, the commission secretary, you can strike those.
I found in the code where it says, 3 members of the planning commission shall constitute a quorum for the transaction of business. The vote of the majority of those planning commission members in attendance, but no less than 3 members shall be required to pass any motion before that planning commission.
So it's there.
Okay, I have a question on that though. Can you read that again? It says the majority of those in attendance. So does that mean if there's 6 of us, it would require a 4 vote? Or am I just mishearing? Because I was.
If there's 6 of you in attendance, 3 members of the planning commission shall constitute a quorum for the transaction of business. The vote of the majority of those planning commission members in attendance, but no less than 3 members shall be required.
Minimum of 3.
You are right.
Has
okay.
to be 4.
So if all 6 of us are present, it would be 4 to pass 4. Anything. Okay.
So we don't have any president of the Senate who can tie break.
Sorry. I don't want to talk about that. Okay.
Too soon.
I think we can strike Commissioner Catmull from like here. Commissioners must give notice all the way down to
I was thinking
here.
The same thing. Because it's like, how do they attend it? The commission secretary must give proper notice to the meeting. We're not worried about that's handled elsewhere, right?
Yep.
But by, even by, I think,
code intended to connect to the letter more.
Letter A.
I think it's the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
I've read it in.
So it's almost like we don't want, are we still talking about quorum? So I think if we just reference that code?
Yeah.
Yep.
So what was that, Greg? What was the
section?
Yep.
It's 17.16. Okay. 0.010 letter A. That section.
I think it's 1.6, not 1.6.
Got it. Thank you. I just had some deep in the code. 17.16.01A. Okay. And usually.
And then, just the next part can be there for emphasis. Need to have three or more.
Did we need to put that?
I think it's just good to have it there for as a training document for future commissioners, maybe.
No action. Commission.
That way, also, our future commissioners don't have to dive into that buried part of the code to find that basic one. You have to have three.
I just want to remember. I guess the only thing I'm trying to do is, like, we talked in a recent meeting about having potentially adding commissioners. Not that we make that decision, but if we did that,
a future commission would need to revisit.
We would need to remember this, and then there might be a conflict about, I'm sure that if it got to this far, a court could sort out which one had primacy. Yeah.
City code would.
We trumped the bylaws.
Because they have to. They'll have to make an update depending on the census if there are going to be more commissioners or council action.
You may actually want to put that in the bylaws. In other words, if there's any conflict between the bylaws and the city code, city code
takes precedence.
Right.
I like that. I'm going to put that down at the
very end, yeah. Superseding all sections of the
yeah
of the bylaws.
Is there a legal term for that? Like that describes that type of section?
City code should take precedence over.
I can send you some stuff from contracts I have that reference that type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll send you some.
Take precedence over.
Let me write that down.
Fourth in this document. All right, I think that's the quorum section. There was a next part under, that's it. Okay, moving right along. Placing items on the agenda. We kind of talked about this last time. Did we want, as commissioners, any individual commissioner want to place things on the agenda or just defer that to staff? Every once in a while, we have wanted topics like this, when we're discussing this evening, placed on the agenda. So there's probably still, we need to have some allowance for that in some way. Or training or whatever that might not be city staff or applicant driven.
Staff still puts it on the agenda.
Staff will put it on the agenda, but if there's an item that we want to discuss, so it's publicly noticed, so at least it's referenced here. And
would you specify at the meeting prior?
Yeah, so that way it can be properly noticed for sure. And as long as it's by the chair or the three commissioner option, I don't think staff or mayor council need to be at the previous meeting, of course, but anything initiated by us.
Just for reference, I mean, do it any way you want, but the city council has a provision that two members of the council can request something go on the agenda by requesting it to the city recorder or to the city manager. And so you could designate whoever you wanted or however many.
I kind of like going with what city council does.
City too. Council.
But not me, not go to the city manager. Who would be our appropriate contact? Would that be you, Mr. Schindler, or that be Cindy as the recorder? I mean, who should we properly notice?
I'm okay with it just being in our meetings.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, it can be, I suppose you could pick me, you could pick Steve, since he's the planning director, or the recorder's office would include Cindy or Anna. Yeah,
or just in the meeting, so we've all had a chance
Our agendas, you know, we prepare the agenda in the planning department. The recorder's office doesn't prepare it. They just post it and advertise it for us. So if you're going to put something on the agenda.
I'm just wondering if it could be like something that doesn't want to get brought up in the previous meeting, like two commissioners want to get another commissioner removed or the chair removed, an action like that. So outside of the meeting, they want to get placed on the agenda?
I don't think we have the authority to remove a commissioner, but we I know what you mean, something sensitive.
But we could remove, like, if an you officer. Suck, we That's could true. Remove you as chair.
Yes.
Not that you do.
I'm trying to look for a way out here. Already, so it's half a meeting so far. Or do we just want to do it during the meetings if it's wanted to be added by the commissioners?
I think that the commissioners, if it were sensitive, should email the chair in advance and let the chair handle it.
Okay. So the way it's worded here?
I might still remove the staff, mayor, city. Mm-hmm.
Or an applicant. That seems weird.
I think the way it's... The way that's going is it says...
In addition to regularly scheduled whatever, the chair or two members.
It seems to be saying, like...
Items outside the regular process.
That, you know, it's like, you can initiate one, two commissioners or ex-commissioners could initiate one, the staff can initiate it with the support of one of these, right? A chair, which is odd. That part's a little odd, the chair with the support of the chair. But the mayor, the city council, or an applicant. So I could see, we don't get mayor and city council too often, but I could see that most of them come from an applicant, either be the city.
The only one I can think of, the mayor, city council, they want a joint meeting.
Yeah.
Or their ordinances, or their, I don't know. I'm okay with it.
That's the way I read it, but it does seem weird now that I read that, that may be initiated by the chair, but it has to, with the support of the chair, but maybe, anyway, I'm fine with that. Like, it's a little awkward. Maybe there's a better way to write it.
No.
What city did this come from again?
Santa Clara, I believe. Yeah, the only reason I'm thinking maybe not with the support of the chair, because if, like, you wanted two commissioners wanted to get a motion to remove the chair, obviously you're probably not going to get the support of the chair.
Well, there are other cities that the chair looks at the agenda and approves it and goes over the items prior to the meeting, and Santa Clara may be one of those, and that's where this language is coming from.
So I'm fine just the two commissioners... After that, just, the step D can delete the rest. I'm fine with that. You don't need the support of any further action.
So are you saying, just by getting rid of that? And just
by the chair or two commissioners, period, and then delete the rest
of it. And delete the rest. If you guys are all fine with that.
My only thing is that...
For a special item?
That might be for a special item. But if we remove that, does that affect the... Normal operations.
The city code trumps.
Yeah, like we don't see what when we go to ask, like what's going to be happening, and something comes up. Are we taking away that ability for in this case, an applicant?
Maybe under the title or subsection title here, we're placing items on the agenda outside of the regular application process.
City business.
City process outside the city process, the established city process.
I feel like it would be just as easy to add, like make this a normal process, if that makes sense. Instead of saying, okay, this is the special process, let's just keep a little bit of this that keeps it the normal process as well.
That seems to be
like what we've got currently almost covers both. Right?
Mm-hmm. I think it does actually.
It's just a little confusing.
If that third part is the staff and then everything supports staff doing it.
Right. So I think if we just clean it up a little bit, we can keep it covering both.
Agenda may be initiated by the chair.
Two commissioners or the staff.
We could think we can take out with support of the chair.
With the support of the chair, mayor, and council. Maybe that's the part. With the support of. And then leave the rest with the applicant because that's the majority of the items we get. Our applications with a completed application.
I like that.
You may consider a time limit. I mean, in other words, if you get the request that something be on the agenda in too late, it's going to be problematic.
With improper noticing deadlines?
With improper state.
Right.
Public state code, right?
Yeah.
Subject to state code
noticing
requirements. Or maybe at the end of the document, we cite municipal code supersedes, state code also supersedes, so noticing requirements always supersede.
Among staff, what is the limit for submitting something to get it on the next planning commission? What's the deadline?
To get on the planning commission?
Yeah.
So three business days, right? Friday, Monday, Tuesday. So three business days.
If it has to be noticed, well, there's also noticing requirements. If somebody wants to put something on that by state code requires us to, well, any, we have 10 days to get, 10 days prior to the meeting, we have
I'd to get the notices I'd say 10 days prior, posted. And then if somebody's done something to really irritate us, we still have 2 days to get it in and get on the next meeting.
And we still have our other business or planning commission comments where someone really wants to talk about it, they could raise it then.
And if you were doing something like that, that wouldn't be a public hearing anyway, so the 10-day wouldn't really.
It's 3 days, noticing it's 10.
Right. I mean, if we have to, if it's an item, I haven't ever seen the Planning Commission wanted to place an item on the agenda that would require noticing anyway, because, I mean, if you're proposing a rezoning someplace or a change to this code, you'd have to go through the same process that anybody else would, which would be filing it and paying a fee and so forth like that. And or else get the city council on board to change those codes. Things, but having a discussion of that, you could always, I don't see why you couldn't always add that as, you know, if you have a, especially if it's, give us a 2-week notice on it, one meeting ahead of time, if you say you want to like some discussion on a certain part of the code, then we could definitely have that discussion without noticing. But.
Okay. And as we're talking about this, I'm sure we would like this to be on our next meeting in 2 weeks, continuation of this item, just FYI.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't want to get nitpicky, but I'm going to.
Please.
I know it says an applicant that has submitted a complete application, but the city will mark your application complete once it's complete. That doesn't mean that it's ready to go to Planning Commission. When you turn everything in, you get an email that says your application has been determined to be complete and will now move into the review process.
Correct.
So that phrase right there, I know it's a technicality, but it's not accurate. And I don't know what to put there instead. Maybe that's why it's irritating me, because I know that.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of the word. That's not correct. I completed, basically, QC.
And you don't want to say approved, because sometimes you'll have an applicant that really wants to come before us and the city does not agree with that application, but it's gone through the process.
That is ready to submit.
So maybe we just remove an applicant that has submitted a completed application, because city staff will...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Put on anything that's ready to come to us. An applicant would never make, I guess I shouldn't say never, but an applicant generally does not make the determination that they're ready to go to Planning Commission. That would be up to city staff.
Correct. And if the applicant, when we get it, it does through our process move to us to where schedule for Planning Commission, and the applicant knows that's, and if they can tell us, well, if you're going to schedule it for the next meeting, we can't attend. So they'll let us know if for some reason they don't want it to go forward. Usually they want it to go as fast as they can, but if there's ever a reason, we can, you know, they would tell us ahead of time.
Yeah. I like that wording better.
So I'm looking in the, Section 1610.060 of the city code. And that one, I'm trying to remember exactly which type of application it's referring to, but it says there will be a hearing after revised plans and plats submitted. I guess it's referring to plans and plat submitted to the city staff approval given. The preliminary subdivision plat application will be scheduled on the Planning Commission agenda. So some items already in our code are specifically saying that they have to be, have been submitted to the staff and approved by the staff before they're scheduled for hearing.
So I think we're fine to just leave it as city staff.
Yeah, I like that. All right, anything else on
the agenda. Okay, moving on to meeting schedule. This one I know is in the city code. City council sets our meeting agenda schedule. So we just need to reference the section of the city code of that piece.
I think it's okay to add the meetings of the commission are typically held on the second and fourth Tuesdays of each month.
And then maybe our meetings are typically at 6:30 p.m.
That's going to be the same code section that Greg Schindler was referring to earlier.
17, 16, 10, A?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Okay, cool, thank you. And we said keep the meetings of the commission are typically held.
Mm-hmm. Second, fourth Tuesdays each month.
And
begin promptly at 6:30 p.m. Special notice and advertising. And then, yeah, and maybe leave B because, as you guys know, our meeting in November falls on a federal holiday, so we're meeting on the Wednesday that week, the second Wednesday.
I missed that.
I didn't see that. Wow.
Oh, yeah,
that's
sorry.
Never happened.
Yes, it's on the city website, so we're meeting... Sorry, the second Wednesday of November for our November meeting.
Wow.
Because Veterans Day is on Tuesday.
Okay.
So I think we should leave just B in as a reference because it's actually going to be applicable this year.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I totally misread the meeting calendar, right? It's correct?
It's correct.
Yeah, okay. And then we can strike C because we don't approve the schedule. The city council does. We could strike C completely.
I think B's fine, yeah.
B's fine and strike C because we don't approve. And then, of course, D reading C, and we have to have that or we get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, we got through section one. All right. So here's, I've had a few. So the first thing I put here on the general order of business, I thought maybe following what we currently have on our agenda that we already have, you know, the roll call. Approve agenda, approve minutes, staff is, but obviously strike the three I have highlighted there, unless you guys want to have a discussion. Do you guys, council has a prayer, council has a pledge of allegiance, council has a public forum, which is general public comments. Mm-hmm. Other commissions do, so.
Most cities I attend have a pledge of allegiance, but I've never seen any of the other two.
I think Mr. Simes is jumping at the bit to jump in on this one.
No, not really. I mean, it's your decision, of course, but do you think it through? Do you really want to have a public forum?
Oh.
Just on coming up on a wide variety. Yeah. People stand up and talk about anything they want.
Yeah. And then there's a section further down about the public forum rules. And so if we just strike that, which we have done, we have made allowances in the past. We can change our, the order of that day. If someone shows up because they don't understand the process and they want to ask a question, we've done that in the past, and maybe we just continue to do that and just not have it part of our standard process.
Yep.
Are you guys good with that? And really, people aren't going to show up to us, but they could, and we want to prevent that, maybe. Okay. And maybe under agenda items, all those other bullets maybe have, what is the next one, sub-bullets? Because those are all agenda item types.
Oh.
Is there anything we want to clean up in our agendas? We've never had anything under summary action.
Yeah, I can't, yeah.
Action, is that when we've tabled something and it's coming back?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we've already had the public hearing.
But I think that should go away.
Or any else things you guys think we should add? That were not.
I think that the comments from Planning Commission members is general enough to capture most of that, like who's going to be here, coordination.
So maybe with the things we remove it, maybe we just clean it up to what is actually already on.
I guess that's the only thing I'd eliminate is the summary.
Okay, so you guys are good. No prayer, no pledge, and open forum, public forum.
Keeping it streamlined and quick.
Yeah. I'm good as well. The only thing I think, and it's not really an issue now, is when sometimes the Boy Scouts could not, or high school classes couldn't get in the city council
for their requirements. We can absolutely amend.
And they would come here to get their requirements. And so,
sure.
Okay.
Yep.
As needed, right?
Yeah. Just
to make it's it feel okay. Okay.
That would be just fine.
If we want, so I'm thinking as we come into the general plan season, if we wanted to have a public hearing that wasn't attached to an application, just to kind of gather feedback.
Of the current general plan.
Of the current general plan, or things that are, how things are working, and allow people, they may or may not take that opportunity, but they, it gives someone.
How would they be noticed?
I think they noticed it citywide, and they when they presented it to us, ooh, I don't know if we had public comment.
Well, that's a change in the general plan.
That's when the general plan actually comes.
But just,
right.
I'm talking about like
interim review.
You know, but they have that opportunity at city council. Why do we need it here, though? Like, I'm all for public comment. But
no,
I feel
I'm not saying like the public forum. I'm saying like if we as a council commission chose to have a hearing where we allowed people to comment on the specific topic.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Then where would we put that? I don't know where we'd put it. I'm just asking in the context of.
We would
ask because it wouldn't be. I don't think it's an administrative action.
It's not legislative.
There's no decision. It's not legislative because it's not.
It's just it's information. Just, it's data collection.
That might be under the
other business.
Other business, or it could be, I guess, under
summary action. No, I'm kidding.
I don't know.
No, it would be under the summary action. It would be under the other business because it's not going to be an advertised. It doesn't require to be advertised, and that's going to be interesting though to advertise it. It would the only way to advertise something that would be like that would be through the city website.
City website, the newsletter.
We're going to send out notices, and the newsletter might that goes out through email as well. So that would work. Also. I don't know when you would, at what point you would want comments on the general plan, but when we start the general plan process, and we hold open houses at the time.
And then we usually
it's long before we've ever established changes to the general plan. We have some. This is the general plan as it is now. And we get comments on at least one of those forums that they can make about what changes they would like to see.
Even if it's not there, I'm just thinking too, because I've been to those, and there's like, it seemed like I was maybe one of five people who showed up that day.
That's true.
And so I don't think that's really, I'd say, you know, anyway. Providing that. So it may not be a public hearing, but I would love to, at least if I'm still around when we're doing the general plan, I'd like to know more about like going back and saying like, this was our target. How did we do? You know, that might be a discussion rather than a public hearing in where we ask for something. I don't know what it is, but some sort of conversation with the facilitated discussion to say.
I think you can always request that. Going back to the previous.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So where would it go? I'm just saying.
Under other business.
I'd say
under
other.
Probably the same as our education.
So that's fine. Like
same as our education.
I'm good. I think we covered it. So
can I read you something from the city code on this?
Yeah.
It shall be the function and duty of the Planning Commission after holding public hearings, and it's interesting that it refers to plural, to make and adopt and certify to the legislative body a general plan for the physical development of the municipality, including areas outside of its boundaries, which in the commission's judgment bear relation to the planning of the municipality. Anyway, there's a very long paragraph here you may want to take a look at, but I think in general, if you're going to be having these meetings, they should be classified as hearings, and they may involve all sorts of discussion back and forth and everything else, but you should call them hearings, and you can have them at different locations and so forth.
Okay. And general plans are already listed there as an item. And so the normal process, and if we want, I think what Commissioner Campbell's getting at is, as planning commission, to help assist with the long-term planning of the city, it's outside of the regular general plan review process, so we can actually review what's currently in place before we get to the mandated part that you decided. So we can be, you know, assist with the long-term planning and actually review what's already been adopted, you know, earlier in the game. Especially as our city continues to grow, we'll have new annexed areas and, you know, on that, so.
I think we could drive a little more citizen engagement.
Yeah.
Probably not much, but a little.
There could be, and that might grow our minor league pool for future commissioners.
There you go.
All right.
So I'm going to, I'll clean this up to have the items that we have.
Yeah.
So I'll put that.
And then the next section can be stricken because we're not going to have public forum. That's where it starts about public forum.
Business. Strike that. Do you want to say it's not allowed? Do you want to put
the? Yeah, I would put that in there that we don't allow
public
it.
Forum. Okay, yeah, it's not.
Maybe.
No.
The discretion of the chair.
Just leave public hearings. Just don't even address it.
Because it's not listed above, and so that we right. do have it allowed if we do need to.
You add it, you can decide, make a motion.
And these will be the rules that we will follow. They're given two, three, whatever it says, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
The chair's purview to conduct that, and yeah.
So are we doing 2 minutes now? Because we've always done three.
Yeah. That's they just cite two, and then, of course, it says if you're speaking on behalf of a group, the chair may to delegate or authorize additional minutes. It doesn't say 5 minutes if it's talking on the group. But how do you, someone says, I'm here on behalf of group, but they're all here representing the same group, and we've had that in the past where they just wanted to exceed their 3 minutes. So I, you know, I could understand if someone truly is here representing a group, which, you know, the legislative item we just heard, that Walmart community will show up when there's going to be residential. I'm on that. But, yeah, I'm torn of giving. I'm fine with 3 minutes, or do we want to give two? But I also want to put in a citation that unused time cannot be given to another citizen, because one lady thought she could because the other people only went for a minute and she wanted to go more than 3 minutes.
I think three is fine.
Right. Put it under public hearings, though.
Yeah.
That's how it's cited there.
Hold on, it was
I
right
thought
down
it was
there.
In there.
It's under down B, further. It is. So scroll down. It's right there at the top B, of that page. Yeah. Go back up. Right at the top of this page. Keep going a little bit. Right there.
2 minute top line.
Defined within a
3 minutes. So we're going to three, or do you want to do two?
I'd say three.
Three.
Okay.
I'd say three.
It's been working.
As somebody.
Oh, it says three. Right, then it's right in front of me on the little board there. So.
Yeah. I'm also okay. I don't know if we're already to this section. I think we skipped procedure, but. Capping public comment on specific items to 30 minutes just up front.
Yeah, and there's several citations throughout this of duplicative, and the commission, the chair can actually stop comment if it just people are rehashing the same items over and over and over. I want to leave that in there.
I would hesitate to put a cap on it right up front, just because we are the body that hears these.
All right.
And if they show up, I feel like we should hear them unless we are in a position where they're saying the same thing, in which the chair has discretion to cut it off.
I don't think they would be organized or have an opportunity to organize in such a way that they could do that, and that might cause actually contention or conflict that we may not want there. So I tend to be, it's like, as long as it's useful information, useful and new, I feel like we should, like Commissioner
Brett,
can we just phrase it like saying the preferred length per public comment per item is 30 minutes?
I would leave it off. I wouldn't say anything about it. Because you already have the purview to cut it off if it gets to a point where it's not helpful. But, like, that's our job, is to listen to them. Like, obviously not our only job, but, like, that's a big part of what we do. And if I showed up to a public meeting and it got capped and people talked and talked and took their full 3 minutes, that's only 10 people.
I do feel like, though, when we had like three long items and we were here past 11, almost to midnight, that they were good about lining up when they knew there was going to be a limit. And like each item that hit that limit, they all got in just barely. There was something about it that.
And we've had others where it's like one item and it's really long and people really want to be heard on both sides of it. Like that one, there wasn't both sides.
That's true.
Like there was just one side of people, but we've had items where there's two sides and they're like both very active. And I think limiting that to 30 minutes would be problematic.
I mean, we could do it on a case-by-case basis if we look at it, but I think there's a lot of discretion.
Yeah, and chair. I think how we handle it.
We can always take a break. Like, we can always submit that we take a break. We can have a conversation with the chair and suggest, like, hey, I don't know this is being productive. Can we, or something. Like, I think there's a lot of opportunities to manage.
Well, and one of them that's in this document, which I had in the previous city I was chair of, is the citizens who actually want to speak are supposed to sign in first.
Yeah, lots of cities do that.
Per item.
And I don't love that, though.
I personally do. And then the people, you still don't have to, but they get first dibs. So they get called up, invited up first, and then there's anybody else who wants to give testimony. I like that,
so you're not staring. Yes. Anybody? You sure?
And you just say, I know it's a little bit more, so they had to put a clipboard out there, which we have a clipboard, and it was like, we have this person. We also get their name and their address for the public record. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, they're going to testify. You have 3 minutes, and then well, that's done, you invite anybody else up, but at least that lets these people get to go first who made the effort and just not hearing other people talk and being repetitive.
Cindy, what do you think of that? That's something that's going to fall, I don't know, to you specifically, but is that...
It's 10 o'clock.
Oh, sorry.
A chore that's hard to deal with, or does that gather information that's helpful to you?
Kind of
So if we had the agenda and people pre-signed in under items that they were interested in addressing the commission on, so that then Mr. Gedge would take his list and say, I see that a Mr. Smith would like to. Would Mr. Smith come up now, Ms. whoever?
That item H1, and he gets to go first because he signed up before anybody else.
We used to have cards they had to fill out and bring them up to the mayor at council meetings. The planning board has never done that, but the city council did it. But they ended that because they got the cards were getting stacks and stacks and stacks of cards. And then people would say, well, I didn't know I had to fill out a card, and they get angry and so forth. But signing in back there, I mean, we'd have to, you know, when they sign in, then they come in, they sign in, that's fine. But what happens if they come in 5 minutes late because the meeting starts? You need to have that. Up here, they don't get
so,
it just sounds like a lot of extra work. Like most of our meetings don't have people that come in and talk. So I think we're
maybe on hot items.
Maybe hot. And the only reason I had it, so the previous city when I did it and had them sign in, we actually had a police officer, which on some of these heated items I would also prefer. He would bring it up before each item. He would walk it up to the dais. But sorry to get protection. So I don't know which one of you guys is my security guard in case there's item. Chief Carr's there for the council.
I know
council.
It's that guy over there.
So just for really, truly contentious items, you know, which I know we don't normally see, but there could be. It's just something to think about. I know we're past 8. I said 8 o'clock. We've got through a lot tonight to think about. So and this part of it is the bulk, and we've hit several sections here. So again, digest it. And under other items, again, we would like to see this. It's time permitting. So I'm going to ask my question. How does our agenda look in February?
For the February 11th meeting, there are 3 items on there at this point. I don't think that's going to change. But
are they daybreak items?
One daybbreak. And then the other two have to do with, I believe, an ADU and something else with a conditional use permit or something with the same property. So it's
really two,
basically.
Okay. So let's leave it on there. And of course, if we see it, we can always table it to the following meeting. Commissioner Hollis will not be, but the other 4 of us will.
Nope.
Commissioner Bevins. I was looking at you. Okay. On that, okay, anything else?
Mr. Kettman, will you email us your newest version?
I will email that out just like I did last time and include city staff. And then I will. I do have one recommendation that we title this instead of commission rules for 2025, just take out 2025 and just call it
bylaws. This way we don't have to go through it every year. Future commissions don't have to.
Or that it only applies for 2025. Yes. We're trying to build something out.
Exactly. Fully agree with that. Anything else?
So I'm not sure I was listening close enough. Is altitude going to be heard next time?
No.
Okay.
What is altitude?
Oh, man, that's the wetlands.
It's not on that.
The one that was over eight units per acre, but not in any of the zones we talked about tonight. Okay.
They have. I just saw the plans, so they have moved it. It is different.
All right. And hopefully addressing the needs of the Jordan River Commission.
Sort of.
We'll see. All right. Anything else from staff? Anything else from the commission?
Nope.
One other thing that is, we don't need to have a vote. We just have a motion and a second for our last item.
And I motion that we adjourn.
I will second. We're adjourned. Wait.